Amen. I hope you're comfortable. I hope everyone has the Bible out. Acts chapter 9. Give me a minute. Lord gave me this message a few days ago around 4 o'clock in the morning. I love it when the Lord wakes you up. I do. I love it when the Lord wakes you up. Because when he first wakes you up, you try to fight and go back to sleep. And then you lay there and you're thinking of everything else but sleep. And then you realize, wait a minute, I'm wide awake. Why don't I just get up? And then you get up and you pray for a good long time and you realize, wow, the Lord woke me up. I love that. And when the Lord wakes you up, speaking to you. But in Acts chapter 9, if everyone's there, please say amen. Amen. We're going to start reading in verse 1 down to verse 6. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord our God, our Father, which art in heaven, we praise you. We worship you. We fear before you. As Paul met with Jesus on the road, we meet with you today with our hearts and our heads and our spirits bowed down to you. We worship you and thank you. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for salvation that is freely given. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit of God that indwells each and every true believer. Thank you for the church, the local body of Christ. Thank you for this book, this blessed, holy book. Thank you, Father, for the teachings of it, the instructions of it. Would you please open up now our understanding and give us ears to hear what you speak to us today? Speak to every one of us today. I ask it, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Speak to us that which you want us to hear from heaven. And we'll thank you for it, Lord. Father, before I say amen, if there's anyone out there at the sound of my voice that does not know, truly, truly know Jesus, I don't mean know about him. I mean know him as their Savior, their Lord, their Master. I pray that today would be the day. I pray, Almighty God, if there's anyone out there that knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but are far from him, I pray that you would draw them nigh. I pray if there's anyone that is caught in sin's trap and the devil's wicked deceptions, that you would break the chains of that through the truth of the Word of God and make them free and draw them back unto the saving arms of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for this church and the people that are here today. Would you please bless us with your presence? In Jesus' name we ask. And all God's people said, amen. What I want you to see, we're going to continue to read, but first, look in verse 4. He said, "He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul." I wish I knew the tone of the voice. I don't. Only what the Spirit of God will allow me. I don't know if it was a more of a threatening and a little bit of an anger voice, or if it was a soft voice. I know it was Jesus. And I know he's merciful. I know he's kind. I know he's loving. So maybe it was a voice of Saul. Saul, why? Why persecutest thou me? And he falling to the ground and in the presence of the Almighty himself with the light shined about him, he says these words. He says, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who am I persecuting? Who are you? I don't even know who you are." He says, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Before we get into a little bit more of the message we have, I want you to think about these words, "Why persecute thou me? Why are you harming me? Why are you against me? Why are you trying to stop me?" And he said this. He said, "Who are you?" You know what that means? It means Saul did not know that he was hurting God, did he? He had no clue that he was hurting and fighting against God. He did not know that he was not only fighting against God, but he didn't know that he was fighting against the things of God, the purpose of God, the will of God. He literally was doing what he thought was right. He had much zeal, so he really thought he was doing the right thing. But yet we know he certainly was not doing the right thing. What he was fighting against, what he did know, however, is that he was trying to stop, as it says in verse 2, that way. He was trying to stop that way. And that's what they used to call the Christians back then. They would call them those in that way, that way. That's what they called them. They weren't called Christians yet. They didn't have a name. They didn't have a title. They were just called that way. What way? The way those people do it. The way that they're going. The way they gather together. The way they worship. And they were called that way. And so therefore, he was just trying to stop that way. And I thought about this. There's a lot of people that believe in God that don't know. They do not know. They're sincerely in their hearts trying to do what's right, at least what they think is right. And they would never say, I'm against God. But what they're against is against the way of God. God has a way. You know that, don't you? It's His way. You know, like that's my way or the highway. No, it's not. It's God's way or the highway to hell. You know, they said, even told Jesus, even said, it says, broad is the road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. And He says, many will find that, but narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to eternal life. And how many? Few there be that find that. So we know that there is a highway to hell, so to speak. It's a very, very broad road. And so therefore, Jesus has a way, and His way is contrary, always contrary to the way that we think it should be. Always, amen, isn't it? You know, we'll think, hey, well, I know what God wants, and I'm going to do what I think is right, and that's what Saul was doing. He was trying to do what he thought was right. And then Jesus met him in the way, thank God, and he said, why? Why are you hurting me? And I just want you to think before we go on, it may or may not apply to anyone in this room. But please ask yourself the question, wouldn't you want to know if you were hurting God? Wouldn't you want to know if all your labors of what you think you're doing right was actually hurting Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you want to know? I would as well. And so therefore, I think all of us ought to at least ask ourselves, am I doing anything like Saul without knowing it? Am I doing anything to hurt Jesus, to hurt the church, to hurt God's way? And I think that's a very, very good question. You know, Saul was hurting God by his actions. By what he was actually doing was hurting God. And Jesus said, why are you hurting me? And no matter how well-intended someone is, or no matter what the reasons are, he was hurting God. And how was he hurting God? By hurting the church. That's what one thing I want you to see is that when Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you against me? Why are you trying to hurt me? And Saul went, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, we know that Saul was persecuting the Christians. That is the church. And when you hurt the church, you hurt Christ. And I just want you to realize that. And here we're going to go on. But like I said, we ought to ask ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing that possibly could be hurting or persecuting Jesus Christ, or hurting the church? And like I said, so many people are going about their own ways, man. So many people, I talk to them. See, the more you talk to people, the more you learn. Sometimes I get up here and I say things and I think people don't have a clue what I'm talking about, maybe because they don't talk to people enough. When you talk to people enough, you're going to hear a lot of excuses. You're going to hear a lot of reasons. You're going to hear a whole lot of something, amen? Whether it be a doctrine, whether it be this, but you're going to hear a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses. And one of the excuses I always hear is, well, I just don't feel like that. Or I don't think that. I think this. And I look at them, I'm like, I know what the Bible teaches. And they're sincere. And they say, well, yeah, but I don't think that we should have to do that. Or I don't think that's good. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what you think, does it? It matters the way of God. What is His way? And the truth matters, there's so many people that are well-intended. But yet, they're going against the things of God. As we go on, I just want you to see the next verse. He says in verse 5, and he said, who art thou? Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he goes on to say, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It is hard for you. See, he's talking to Saul, a man who thinks he's doing the right thing, thinks he's following God, thinks he's actually trying, at least he's trying to please God in some way, at least in his way, his mind. He meets Jesus. Jesus says, "Why are you hurting me?" And he's hurting the church, is what he's doing. And he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." And I like the first part. He says, "It's hard for you." And the reason I like that is because Jesus said it. But what it is, it's hard to get kicked against the pricks. It's like, what are you doing? And if you stop and think and said, what are you doing, Saul? Because you're persecuting me, you're hurting the church, and what it's doing is, why? It's hard for you even. See, when you are going against the way God wants it to go, the way God intends it, it's always going to be hard for you. It's not going to be right. I see Christian after Christian after Christian, at least so-called, having a hard time being a Christian. And I'm like, I hear people say it's hard to be a Christian. No, it's not. Who said it's hard to be a Christian? I don't know. I thought it was hard to live a wicked, sinful life. I think it was hard to be it says the way of the transgressor is hard. I think being a druggie and an alcoholic and that's a hard life. Being a Christian is hard? Why? Well, I can't do drugs. Okay. I can't drink. All right. Can't gamble. All right. Smoking. They don't even want me to smoke. All right. Where's the hard part? That's the part your mama told you. There's nothing even serious about that. I digress for a second. But he says, what are you doing? You know, the thing is I wrote this down. Apostle Paul was the person. Apostle Paul had his own purpose. And Apostle Paul had his own plan. Did he not? It was indeed about Apostle Paul. It wasn't about the Jewish traditions. It wasn't about the Jewish religion. It was about him because he was trying to make a name for himself with the Jews. He was of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, and he was trying to make a name, and he was making a big name for himself. But really, it was all about Paul, and it was all about Paul's purpose, and it was all about Paul's plan. And the truth of the matter is, whenever it's about you. And then you have to ask yourself, okay, if it's about you, then what's your purpose? What is your purpose here on this earth? And what's your plan? And the truth of the matter is you can talk to people over and over, and you'll get so many different answers to that. But when it's about you, you're going to have your own plan. Or some people live their life without a plan, don't they? Most people do. But in all reality, if it's about them, that's the purpose and that's the plan. He says that this plan that you're doing, Paul, this purpose that you're on, is only hurting yourself. You're kicking against the pricks. What you're doing is you're working and laboring and trying to do something that you think is right, and it's hurting you. It's only hurting you. And think about the kicking against the pricks. Someone asked me, forget who it was, you know, what does that mean? And it, two things. But one thing, what it means is the prick was a sharp, pointy object, whether it be a nail or whether it be a gourd, like, you know, the crown of thorns they made for Jesus and they hammered it into his head. They were man-made. They were natural. Well, these goads, certain goads would have these long point burrs on them. And what they would do is they would put them on ox carts and yoke of oxen. And what they'd do, they'd have them in the back so that the oxen could only go forward. And when they stopped and tried to go backward, they'd hit those gourds, those pricks, and it would hurt them. And it would stop them from going back because they don't got the plower who's using the oxen, the plow doesn't want to go back, he wants to go forward, amen? And then they would put them some on the sides, so if they tried to turn or make a sharp turn, they'd hit the pricks. And it would hurt them. But guess what happened? The more, they're just like we are called oxen in the Bible. Did you know that? It says, if you're an ox, you know what that means? That means that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, first of all. If I call you an ox right here, this is a spiritual application, don't get mad at me. That means you're doing all the work. That means you're doing the work of God. Because you're the one that's plowing. You're the one that's out there working. That's what the ox is for, to do the work of God. So an ox in the Bible is a good thing. Amen? But the problem is an ox can't go on his own way. He can't just go the way he wants to go. I'm God, I'm for you, let's go, I'm going this way. God says, no, I have a way. I have a plan. And I have a purpose for you, specifically, in my plan, in my kingdom. I have a purpose for you. And you can't go off and say, well, I want to do this. Or, I want to go this way. Because you're just hurting yourself. You're just kicking against the pricks because God has a way for you. Do you understand that? God has a plan, a specific plan, planned out just for you. And what happens is, as many of us want to do on our own terms. We want to do God's thing on our own way. We want to do it because we feel it's the right way, or we think it's the right way, or someone might have told us it was the right way. Apostle Paul, when he came to meet Jesus, he had some bit of authority. He had other people along with him, like, yeah, you go, man. That's a good job. You go get them. Yeah, I'm going to go get those, round up those Christians. Good job. Yeah, they're no good. They're not doing the right job. And there's always people that will back you when you want to do the wrong thing. You know, if you start talking bad about the church, guarantee people got, yeah, that's right, church stinks, that's not good. I'm serious. You sit in your office, you sit in your friends, you sit wherever you're at and start talking good about Jesus, people will leave. You start saying, oh, the church, man, all they want is your money. Yeah, you know what? That's right. You start saying, yeah, the church, they want, yeah, and you'll get after a crowd and they'll all be on your side. Just notice that. It's really true. Apostle Paul had a lot of people on his side. He had some bit of authority to go do what he was doing, but it was not the way of God. And thank the Lord that God appeared to him. And he says, Saul, why? Why are you doing it this way? You're hurting me. And he says, guess what? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard life for you to try to do it your way, to try to do it your own purpose. I have a purpose for you, Saul. I have a purpose for you and a plan for your life. And it's just like an ox when you yoke up a yoke of oxen, and they all knew what the prick meant. It was a goad that had a pointy thing on it, like a nail. And if the ox was going straight, he could walk all he wanted freely. But when he could stop, and he could even move back a little bit, very little. But if he took a step back, like he was going to turn, and he took his eye, he hit a prick. Ah, he hit a prick. And I thought about this. Thank God for the pricks. Thank God for the pricks in my life. The things that hurt me, that didn't allow me to go my own way. Amen? You know, the things that hurt us and bother us. You know, I sit up here as a preacher, and I have a wife, thank God, praise the Lord, I love her. And she's the one that, like, will always tell me, you know, you shouldn't have said that. I know, they're good at that. I say, but what should I have said? It's always, well, you know, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said this. And sometimes I listen to her, and sometimes she's just wrong. Sometimes. Not many, but sometimes. But the truth of the matter is I said something in the message last week, and it was on the radio, and she said, yeah, I don't think you should have said that. And I looked at her, and I said, well, what should I have said then? Because I have to, what it is the reason I can't say certain things sometimes, because I'm afraid someone's going to get offended. I'm afraid it's going to be a prick, and it's going to hurt you. Because guess what? Sometimes when somebody in the church like this, somebody's going the wrong way. And then you start preaching about it, and God will prick, prick, prick. I didn't like that. The pastor got me wrong. I didn't like that at all. Don't be talking about that. I didn't like that. Is it God's way or is it not God's way? And the truth of the matter is we all know. We all are deep inside. I'm here to tell you, and this is no new revelation. You should be in church every time the church doors are open. And the people that are here can say amen. The other people just be quiet. Yeah, it got real quiet in here. Thank you, sweetie. It's the truth. And you know it. And I know it. And you can think of many reasons why. If you can't, you can, okay? But if you can, you should. And we all know that. And you should tithe your income. Everyone knows that. But, I mean, you can go and turn all you want, but it's hard for you. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you not to do it the way God wants it. Why? Because it's just hurting the church. That's all it's doing. When you're not here, guess what? It hurts the church. When you don't tithe, guess what? The only one suffers is the church, Jesus Christ. That's it. You're hurting Christ. And by doing so, you're hurting yourself. You're just kicking against the pricks. Instead of saying, thank God for those pricks. Thank God for those pointy things that I didn't like that too much. Yeah, well, then you better check yourself. Why didn't you like it? Are you going the way of God? Is this God's way for you? Is this God's plan for you? Or is this your own plan? Is this what you think? Is this what you feel? Or is this what God says? Amen? And that's what happens is we just want to go our own way. Yeah, we believe in God. Yeah, we do this with God. But I'm just here to tell you, he should be, Jesus Christ should be the person that it's all about. Amen? It should be about Jesus always. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. Amen? Not just Sunday or Wednesday night. It should be about Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You say, well, how can I be? Easy. Just talk to him. Ask them. Pray. Read your Bible. You have a relationship. He'll tell you. He'll tell you when you're doing the wrong thing. First of all, he'll know what he'll do. Say, show up on Sunday. You'll get a real good little stab in the side. Amen. But kicking against the pricks is trying to go our own way instead of the master's way. The master has a master plan, praise God. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And he is the person of your life, not you. It's about him, not you. The pricks are pointy things. So you won't turn back, turn aside, or turn around. Amen? But the stubborn ox, the ox that is stubborn, and you know they are, they would kick against them just because they knew they were there. Some ox would go and they got stuck a couple of times, you know, and they felt it. And so what they want to do is they want to, is it still there? It's there. You know what I mean? And then they'll go a little further and they'll be like, is that still there? Oh, yeah. It's there. Sometimes people start liking the pain. Sometimes people like the pain. And it's like a little annoying kind of owl, but that owl, which is supposed to keep us in the right direction, now all of a sudden, people start kicking against it all the time. And that's their life. They live in pain. I see it all the time. I see people living in pain because they just won't do what the master wants them to do. They just won't obey. They struggle in their life. Every day they're struggling. And it's hard for thee. It's hard for thee. It's hard for thee, Jesus said. Why? Why are you persecuting me? Who? I'm not persecuting you, Lord. He says, yeah, you're hurting the church. How am I hurting the church? By not being there. By not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We're all supposed to be together. When there's a ministry, and I know this is going to be a prick to some of us, but good. Good, because I want to be turned back the right way. But all of us, when there's a ministry, we should all be involved. There should be so many people being involved. They're like, sorry, you can't come. No, go home. Sit down. No, we got too many. Just like Moses did when they wanted to build the temple, the church, and they said, everybody of free will, by their own free will, bring in gold and silver and clothing. And people brought so much, he said, that's it. Stop giving. Wouldn't that be great? Stop giving. We have too much. You say that would never happen. I know churches right now that have $250,000 in their account. They have $4 million in their account. Some of them have $30 million in their account. Why isn't it in missions? Why aren't they giving it to people and doing things? What's it doing in their account? They already got a brand new building. They already got this. They got everything they need. Why do they have all this money backed up? For what reason? Give it out. Do something with it. Start some churches. Give it out to people. Go and feed the poor. Do something with it. Amen. So sometimes people do have too much, but very rare. My point is this, is that the point of the goad is exactly what I just said. It's the point. So the point, the goad, the prick, is the point. So my question to you is, what's the point? You say, well, Jesus is the point. Exactly right. Every time we do something on our own, we go the way we want to go, it's that point, that conviction, that point that hit us should be Jesus. Jesus. Is it about Jesus? Is this what he wants? Is this what he wants? Every single time we try to go our own way, stop, it should be Jesus. Okay, I'll do it. It shouldn't be about this, about Jesus. Jesus is the point. He's the point. Because if you're not doing it for him or his way, then what's the point? What's the point of coming to church if you're not going to do it his way? What's the point of reading your Bibles and studying and learning Scripture if you're not going to do it his way? What's the point? And that's the whole thing. That's what kicking against the prick is. It's like, what's the point? It's only hurting you. And that some people say, well, it's only hurting me. And I'm here to tell you maybe a little revelation, but many people know this. It's never just about you. When you're hurting, your family's hurting. Your friends are hurting. Your faith is hurting. And your future is hurting. And that's the truth. It's never just about you. When you are hurting yourself, some people in this room can testify, I know this to be true. When you are hurting yourself, you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting everyone around you. You're hurting your family, your friends. You're hurting your future. You're hurting your faith. And more importantly, when you're hurting and when others are hurting, Jesus is hurting. There's not a tear goes by Jesus doesn't see. There's not a prayer goes by. How many mothers are out there praying for their children right now? Tears running down their face because their children are going off in alcohol or drugs, or even worse than alcohol and drugs. They're just going away from God. I've seen alcoholics and drug addicts come to God. But when someone's running because they don't even want to love Him, to know Him, that breaks my heart more than anything else. Sometimes I wish they would become an alcoholic. Why? So they hit rock bottom. Sometimes I say, okay, man, go ahead. Just like the father of the younger son. It said, Dad, give me everything that's mine. I want it all. He said, okay. You really? You want it? Yeah, here you go. It's all yours. Go ahead. Have fun. What? What father would do that? This one? He said, he'll learn his lesson. Sometimes people need to learn your lesson. Amen. Some people are just wise and say, you know what? I saw what happened to you. And you know, I'm kidding. I saw what happened to you. I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm not going that way. That's wise. The dumb one is, I saw what happened to you. It looked like fun. Think I'm going your way. And then they go down and down the toilet. Isn't it right, Chris? They, you know, I'll tell you what. I work in the prisons and I know people. And heroin is a very, very, very serious drug. Many people are addicted to heroin. I've been, people that I knew very closely died. Met quite way too many. And the weirdest, craziest thing about it is when someone died of heroin, all the other people, the friends and all, even family members that are in heroin, they wanted to know where he got it. I'm not kidding you. They wanted to know where they got it. It killed your friend, but where'd they get it? Must be good stuff. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. So some people just like misery. And they just like pain. And they kick and they kick and they kick. And sometimes, just like people cut themselves. Why would someone do that? They like the pain. It gives them sense. And that's why some people are. They kick against the pricks. They kick against what God wants. And they live their lives kicking against the pricks the whole time. And that's why Jesus said, it's hard for you. Your life is hard. Yeah, but I know Jesus. I'm saved. But your life is hard. It should be a life of joy. A life of victory. A life of passion and power. Hallelujah. Instead, their life is a life of hard. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Why is it so hard? Say amen when you get to Matthew 11. I hear pages. Everybody there? I just like hearing say amen. Someone say praise the Lord. Say something. Amen. I like that. Look at me in verse 28, please. Chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is speaking and he says, come unto me. Right there ought to be enough. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy? Two things I want you to see right here is there's two things you must do according to Jesus is you must come unto me, he said. Not come unto the religion, not come unto the church, not come unto good works, not come unto your NAs and AAs and all the other programs you have, not come unto your friends, not come unto Dr. Stanley on TV, but come unto me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. That's the very first thing is it has to be about Jesus. And Jesus only. It can't be come to my religion, come to my church, come to my... It must be come unto me, Jesus says. You can do that at home. You can do that right here, right now, because Jesus is always available. You know why? Because he's in the spirit of the Holy... He's in the form of the Holy Spirit on this earth. And at any moment, at any time, if you seek me, and while I may be found, seek me early and you shall find me. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. See, we have to come unto him. We've got to show him that we want him, that we need him, that we care for him. See, you just can't, and God knows, you can't lie to him. You can't say, Jesus, I want you. He's like, yeah, right. Because you can lie to me and you can lie to each other all day. Todd, you love me? Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They all tell me that. Keith, you love me? Oh, I believe you, but no, I'm not kidding. No, my point is, you can say anything to anybody. They don't know. But you can't lie to God. Amen? God sees and He knows. And Jesus said, come unto me. Me. And I'll give you rest. He said, but then the second thing, the first thing is you must come unto me. It doesn't end there. Problem is, that's where it ends for most people. I mean, how many people go out have ever won a soul to the Lord, as they say? You ever? You know, we're supposed to be soul winners. He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. That's what we're supposed to be out there and preaching the gospel and winning souls to Jesus. Amen? But how many people come to Jesus and they come to Him? They truly do. They come to Him with repentant heart in Jesus. But they never do the second thing. Take my yoke upon you. They come to Jesus and they got Jesus. But then they go their own way. See, the yoke is what the oxen would be paired up with. It was a thing that went, they put their heads in. And it was steered by the master. And what it was is, you never had one yoke. A yoke of oxen was always two. Never had one. It wasn't called a yoke. Unless it was, if there was one. It was a yoke when there was two. And Jesus says, take my yoke. That means Jesus is inviting you to come alongside of Him and work together. I have a purpose for your life. I've known you. I love you. I care for you. And I have every aspiration for you in your future. Amen. Come with me. Come on. Let's go. And He says, you can't just come to Jesus. You must do the second part, Carl. And it says, take my yoke upon you. That means you have to be willing to trust Him. So many people will come to Jesus for whatever reasons, right? But then when He says, take my yoke, come on, let's go together. I don't know. He's probably going to send me out. You know, I'm going to have to go to church every Sunday. I'm probably going to have to read my Bible. I don't know. And they're kicking against the pricks right off the bat. Because they don't want to be yoked with Jesus. Why? That's why their life's so hard. You see, when He says, take my yoke upon you, and what He's saying is, this is my yoke, not yours. This is what I do, not you. But I'm inviting you to come alongside me and do what I do. You know why? Because what I do is for you. Come on, let's go. And you have to trust Him with your heart and say, I trust Jesus. I trust God. That where He leads, I'll follow. You can't say, I trust you, Lord, and not want to follow Him. People say, well, He might send me to Africa. No, He won't. No, you know why He won't? Because you don't want to go there. I'm serious. What He'll do is, you start going with Him, and He'll see your heart. What you like. He'll see what you're good at. He'll know everything about you because you're working together. And he'll put a desire in your heart. And all of a sudden, you'll be like, you know what? I really like to go to Africa. Nah, you don't want to go. Yeah, you know what? I really think I do. I really feel like I won't be happy anywhere else. Unless, okay, and guess what? God sends you to Africa. But you're like, praise the Lord, that's where I wanted to go. He'll never send you anywhere you don't want to go. Never. He doesn't. You know why? Because He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. My yoke's easy. And I see people in the church today, and life's not easy for them. Why? Why is it hard to be a Christian? How many people, by an upraised hand, have heard someone, or you said, it's hard being a Christian? Raise your hand if you've heard that. I've heard it hundreds of times. I don't know where that came from, because you can't find that in the Bible. But I see Jesus saying, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke's easy. Really, how is it easy? I'm going to have to work. Yeah, you go to work every day, don't you? Yeah? Well, let's go together. Oh, okay. Well, but it's hard. I got to come to church. He goes, yeah? You were thinking about coming anyway, weren't you? Yeah, you kind of sat there at home saying, you know what, I think I should be in church. But I don't have a good one. Didn't you? He goes, yeah, well, I'm going to help you find a good one. Come on. You know, everything that you want to do anyway, He's going to help you do it. How many people want to exercise? Say, come on, raise your hand. Say amen. Come on. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I heard my favorite talk show host say one of the worst times of his whole week is when he exercises. He says it's 1 hour, and he says it's nothing but grueling, grueling pain. Even the stretching is pain. I hate everything about it, but when I'm done, I'm so happy I did it. And that's kind of what it's like where God's going to tell you to do something. You're like, oh, man, I don't want to do that. But as soon as you're done doing it, you're like, I'm so glad I did that. Because He knows what's going to make you happy. Because that little bit of time that you say, oh, man, I don't want to go to church today. But then you go, you're like, I'm so glad I went. You better say amen. Hold on. What time is it now? You better say amen or I'm going longer. Thank you very much. He says, take my yoke upon you. So that's the first thing you have to do is come unto Jesus and him alone. And then you have to be willing and have trust to take his yoke upon you. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I see people walking around with a heavy burden. You know what they have? A burden of guilt. Guilt stinks, doesn't it? You know what it is I don't know about you, but no Christian should have any guilt. I struggle with that all the time. Thank you for saying amen. I struggle with that because I do something that I know I shouldn't do and I have guilt. And I hate it. And then for 3 days, about 3 days, I'm confessing it. 3 days, I'm on my feet. God, I'm so sorry. But the word of God says, the moment I confessed it and truly repented of it, he washed me and it's gone forever. He doesn't remember it. He lifts the guilt off of me, yet I carry it around. He lifts the shame off of me and I carry it around. And that's one of the greatest yokes of Jesus Christ, is that while you're yoked up with Jesus and you're doing what he wants you to do and you kick against the prick and you do something wrong, whatever it is, all you turn and say, sorry, Jesus. Okay, it's cool. Let's go. And then you're like, the whole time he wants you to be like happy. Go, let's go. Off to work we go. You know, we can learn a lot from those little guys. They were happy going off to work. I don't know about you, but the happiest you'll ever be is being with Jesus. I'm here to tell you, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you persecuting Jesus, the church? When Jesus says, come unto me, some people need to come. Some people have come to religion and they've come to good works and they've come and they think they're okay. That is not salvation. It is found only in the person of Jesus Christ. That's it. And his blood and his righteousness is imputed and given unto you when you come to him. No religion can save you. No religion died on the cross for you. Only a man died on the cross, and we follow that man. Amen? So therefore, some people come, and then they try to do it their own way, and yet they're miserable. And then other people, they come to religion, or they come to the name of Jesus, or something about Jesus, and then they try to work for Jesus. I see it all the time. People are laboring for Jesus. You know, they're out there soul winning and this way and going to street preaching and going to, you know, nursing homes like we do. And they're going out this and they're going out. And their life is hard. And it's labor. And you know, it's like, their whole life is a laborious life. Trying to do the work of God. You know why? Because they're trying to take the load of God and the burden of God without taking Jesus. You got to have Jesus first. And him all the time. What good is it? What's the point? What's the point of serving God without God? What's the point of doing anything you do without Jesus Christ? What's the point? And that's what this really message is about, is it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That's the point. The point is Jesus. When you get a little grumpy and you want to complain or you want to do this, that prick. Ow. Just that prick is Jesus. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What does Jesus want you to do? And what did, how does he, and let those pricks be your friends. Amen? Don't take that the wrong way now. Because I'm going to finish up with this, but I just want you to realize that it's a good thing when you know you're kicking against the pricks, because God's trying to straighten you out. He's trying to get you on the path. He's trying to do what he wants you to do. And we don't want to yoke up with Jesus, some of us. We just don't want to. Hey, we're having, you know, this thing on Friday, Saturday. We're going out soul winning. I don't want to do that. Hey, we're having a men's fellowship cook-off. I don't want to do that. Hey, we're having service tonight. Matter of fact, we're having the Lord's Supper tonight. We're having communion. It's a commandment of God to have be baptized after you believe. After no child, baby ever gets baptized in the Bible. That's made up. It's when you become a believer, then you willingly are baptized. Amen? That is a commandment of God, and there's only two to do. And the other one is the Lord's Supper, which is the Lord's table, which is the communion of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're commanded to do that. That's tonight. It's 6:00. I don't want to do that. Okay, why you kick against the pricks? Why? Your life's going to be hard. I don't get it. God has a plan and a purpose for you, and you can kick all you want. You can kick and scream and yell and complain. Doesn't really matter. Jesus is going to say the same thing. He says, it's hard for you, isn't it? It's hard for you being a Christian, isn't it? It's hard for you, isn't it, coming to church every Sunday? It's hard for you to come on Wednesday nights, isn't it? It's hard for you to have a prayer time. It's hard for you to reading Bible time and study time. It's hard for you, isn't it? Yeah, it's hard. That's because you're kicking against the pricks and because you have not come to me. You've come to religion. You've come to good works. You've come to something other than me, because my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. I'll tell you right now, following Jesus, you know what it's like? And I'll get on with the message. It's when you yoke up with Jesus. Come here, Keith. I need a strong, handsome Jesus type. I'll take you instead. He's not here, so I'll take you. You're over here. He's Jesus. And Jesus, I come unto Jesus because he calls me. And I come unto him and I bow before him and I ask him, save me. And he saves me. And he gives me his righteousness and he lifts me up. He says, stand up. He says, take my yoke upon you. Really, which way are you going? I'm going this way. And he says, he puts a yoke on. That yoke comes, brings us right together. That yoke goes on our heads. Bow your head a little bit. And we put the yoke on. Now we're like this. We're one. We're one. We're right. We can't get away from each other. You understand that? And now guess what? I don't lead. He leads. Start walking. I start walking. Now, this is what I do. I'm just looking at him. Hey, Jesus, how you doing? Amen. You look really nice. You know what, Jesus? You're a handsome man. Jesus, I love you. You know what? You give me lots of joy. You know that? You give me lots of peace. You know, it's fun hanging with you. You know what? This is kind of cool. Jesus, how come I got all the tickles now? How come I'm laughing? How come I'm smiling? Jesus, this is really fun. You know why? Because I don't take my eyes off him. I'm just looking at him. Hey, Jesus, it's great. You know what? This is really awesome. You're pretty good. Wow, really? I didn't know that. Thank you for teaching me that. Before I know, I look back and I just plowed two whole rows. What? I did that? Well, sure you did, son. I did that. Look at other people. Look, they're coming to follow. See, his yoke is easy. The problem is you're like, oh, look what I got to do. Oh, look at that rock. Oh, no. Man, we're going to go. All right, we got over that. Look at, and we're not looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I keep our eyes upon Jesus. And we just look at him and talk to him and sing to him and just tell him how great he is. And just, Jesus, you're awesome. And before you know it, you've been living your life yoked up with Jesus, and everything that happened, you did. Whoa, look at all the good stuff I can't believe it. You can sit down, Jesus. My point is this. That's what he says. My yoke is easy. Why? Because he's doing all the work. We just keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen? We just keep talking to him and worshiping him and loving him. And when you're next to him, there's joy. When you're next to him, there's great grace and peace and forgiveness and love beyond compare. No one loves me like Jesus. No one. But then people say amen, and I'm not talking about because you just said it. Because people say, yeah, but then they go their own way. And they kick against the pricks, and they wonder why life's so hard. And why? Because you've taken your eyes off of Jesus. You're not yoked up with Jesus. Amen. Back to the story and the finish of this message. Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you against the church? Why are you against the way that it's supposed to be, the way that God has planned? That's what it is. He was against that way. If you know that you're supposed to be in church every time the church doors are open, because that's what the church does three times a week, you know it, then when somebody tells you to do it, it's going to be a prick. It's not going to feel good. You know you're supposed to read your Bible every single day to learn and to grow, but you don't do it, you're going to feel that prick. The prick is there to stop you from harming yourself. The prick is there to stop you from backing up or turning around or turning away. But if you've been pricked in any way, praise him for it. Thank him for it. Look upon Jesus. If some person in this room has never come to Jesus yet, truly him, and you think, well, I'm religious, I believe in God, so did Saul. Saul was persecuting the church. I would never persecute the church. Really? Are you part of this ministry that God brought you to? I mean, if you have your own church and all, that's fine. I wish you were here. But I mean, fine, you're here now. My point is this, and I'm just trying to be as honest and transparent as I can. Where God leads you, where God guides you, where God directs you, that's his will for your life, his purpose. He has a purpose. He has a plan. You know why? Because he's the person of it. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen? Keep your eyes on him. A lot will happen. I'm going to try to finish now. Our time is up. But when you're kicking against his purpose, you know what the point does? Let me give you these couple points the point does. The point not only has a purpose, but the point convicts, the point corrects, and the point converts. The reason things aren't going well is because you're not getting the point. The reason things aren't easy for you to be a Christian is because you're not getting the point. The reason things are difficult in your life is because you just aren't getting the point. Why would you go and do anything that you want to do on your time, your own, if Jesus isn't with you? What's the point? It's all going to burn and die. It's all going to be for naught. Nothing good will come from it. No joy, no lasting peace, no fruit. And guess what? You're just hurting yourself. So what's the point? And Jesus is up there shaking his head, scratching his head, going, why don't they get the point? Because the point is Jesus. Is it Jesus that keeps you home on Sunday? I don't think so. Is it Jesus keeps you home on Sunday night, Wednesday night, nursing home? The Bible tells us, commands us in James 1, the last verse, says true religion, pure religion is undefiled before the Father. And this is what it is, visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, helping people, loving people. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, nursing home will be easy. You keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll end up in church going, wow, I can't believe it. It's easy. It's fun. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
I just want to say this before we finish because I wrote it down and I think it's worth saying. But if it's hard for you, if it's hard for you being a Christian, something's wrong. Your eyes are not on Jesus, so on something else. Does that make sense to you? Jesus said, my burden, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. And my burden, it's light. You know why? Because he's carrying the load. You're just walking with him. Amen? So if you have stubbornness or pride or self-will, if you're self-willed, like I want to do what I want to do, that's that like the ox and it's kicking against the pricks all the time. And you don't know why things aren't easy. You don't know why you're not full of this. And you don't know why you don't have this because God's saying you're not getting the point. The point is Jesus. That's the point. That's the only point there is Jesus. If what you're doing is not about Jesus, for Jesus, to Jesus, by God, for God, and of God, then there's no point in it. Does that make sense? I see some of you already saying, where's your point? Let's get done. Acts chapter 9. Are you back there? We'll finish up with this. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. I love it when he said it's hard for you. And you know what? I believe when right now, when Jesus said this to Saul, Saul knew for a fact. Yeah, you're right. How did you know? You're right. How did you know? God knows everything, doesn't he, Beth? So some people here today, when you heard me say or you heard the Lord say, it's hard for you, isn't it? You probably said, yeah. How do you know? And this is how the answer to what your problem is the same as the answer to Saul, our brother Saul. It says in verse 6, and he trembling and astonished said, these words is what this is what we need to say. Lord, what will you have me to do? That's how you get straight again, Eric. That's how if you're kicking against the pricks and you're trying to go your own way and do your own thing, you say, Lord, it's not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your plans. It's not about your purpose. It's not about what you think or what you feel. Amen? It's about Jesus. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So you need to stop right now, wherever it is you're doing, whatever way you're going, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is pricking you about now, and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as we're going to have an invitation, I'm praying, and I want you to pray, the Holy Spirit of God will tell you what he wants you to do. It's going to be about the church, because that's what Jesus is all about. He died for the church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. And he has a plan and a purpose for this church, our church, new church that didn't exist before. Now it exists. And look at all the awesome people we have. I'm telling you right now, if just one third, I probably less, one third of the people in this room right now would truly yoke up with Jesus and do what Jesus wants them to do, oh my soul, what the things that this church could do, me included. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know about you, but God, do you believe God has a plan for your life?
Amen.
Do you believe he has a purpose for you?
Amen.
Is he the person of the purpose, of the plan? It's him. So what would Jesus really want you to do? Would he want you to do your own thing, or do you want to do it his thing? And my burden is easy. My yoke is light, he said. Well, this is, I'm going to finish with this. Tamron, if you'd come up. Stubbornness, pride and self-will. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, he says the magic words, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I like what Jesus said. Look what he said. He said, arise and go into the city. And look what he says. And it shall be told you what you must do. I don't want to be told what to do. Jesus said, it shall be told you. You will be told what to do. That's what he says. I want you to say, if you would, just bear with me and say these words out loud and say, Lord. Ready? Say, Lord.
Lord.
What do you want me to do? Say it.
What do you want me to do?
I hope and pray someone actually means that. Me means it. And then Jesus, the answer is, don't worry. It'll be told you what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Don't worry. Someone, I'm going to send someone to tell you what to do. And some people will say, amen. Good. Other people go, I don't like to be told what to do. Keep kicking. Keep kicking. Some people say, and God's going to say, I'm going to teach you what to do. Well, I don't like to be taught. I know what I'm doing. I know what I think. I know what I believe. Keep kicking. Keep kicking. People, some people don't like to be told what to do. They don't like to be taught what to do. They don't like, you know what I mean, have to have a responsibility. You see, I have a lot of people say to me, you know, I need to have accountability. Someone say amen. Because I know I want to go off and do this. If I'm accountable, then it brings me into, okay, I got to do this. God's going to say, I'm going to give you accountability. I don't want accountability. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Just keep kicking. Just keep on kicking and see how that works out for you. Amen. The message is done. We are finished. Jesus said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Listen to this. It says, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, he shall find it. When he says, take my yoke upon you, for it's easy and my burden's light. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? As time starts to play, I would like you to stand to your feet, and I want you to think about that yoke right now. And I want you to come, leave your seats, come unto Jesus and him alone at this old-fashioned altar. Bow before the Lord. Talk to him and him alone. And say, Jesus, it's only you that I want. It's only you that I follow. It's only you that I believe. It is only you that I love. And then while you're saying that and you're coming to him, why don't you ask him to forgive you? Why don't you say, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, forgive me for kicking against the pricks and going my own way. I see now, Lord, that those pricks were the best thing in my life to straighten me out. I believe that you have a purpose for me. I believe you have a plan for me. And Lord, now, if I hope and pray you can say this from your heart. I bow before you to take your yoke upon me. I will be one with you. I trust you, Lord. Where you lead, I'll follow. Where you go, I'll go. What you tell me to do, I'll do. How many people by an upraised hand could say, I can pray that prayer and mean it right now? Upraised hand. I can pray that prayer and mean it. Amen. Put your hands down all around the room. Let's pray to our Father. Father, thank you for the Word of God, the message that you allowed us to hear today. Thank you for those pricks, Lord. Thank you. I need them, Lord. I need them. I'll go my own way. I don't want to go my own way. My life's been hard. My life's been hard. And you know that more than anyone. And I have just been, I thought I was just hurting myself, but really, I'm hurting my family. I'm hurting my friends. But Lord, I'm hurting you. Forgive me, Lord, for kicking against the pricks. I now, the best I can, Lord, I trust you. I trust you because I love you, because you love me so much. You died on that cross just for me. You suffered and bled and died just for me. I can trust you completely now, and I bow my head before you, and I ask you to yoke me together with you. I take your yoke upon me now. And I just pray to help me to continue to look upon you. Not myself, not my feet, but look upon you, that I may know you, that I may feel you, that I may love you. God, thank you that you would allow me the great privilege of working and walking beside you. Thank you for bringing me to this church. Thank you for bringing me to the Word of God. Thank you for giving me a purpose. Help me to do that purpose. And I'm asking, I'm giving you permission, sharpen those pricks, Lord, that I may feel them even stronger after today, that I may walk straight in your path. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen.